The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
As 2018 comes to a close, let's take a look back at the trends in the world of cybersecurity. In Singapore, we've experienced our largest data breach incident with SingHealth and server hacking incidents like KrisFlyer and iTunes. And such accidents, or rather incidents, have led to cybersecurity being one of the trending topics here in Singapore since then. A British security software and hardware company, Sophos, recently released its cyber threat report. It surveyed three overall themes of cyber attack trends that seem to have gained a wider acceptance. The use of manual attack techniques to install ransomware, the wider adoption of so-called living off the land techniques by a broad segment of the malware distribution networks, and the growing threat of cryptocurrency mining and botnets that affect non-traditional technology platforms such as mobile devices and networked hardware like routers. Not only that, it reported that less skilled cybercriminals are being forced out of business, meaning that we will eventually be left with fewer but smarter and stronger adversaries. Well, joining us to discuss about this cybersecurity landscape as we look forward to the next year is Aaron Bugel, the Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos. Well, Aaron, your report found that cybercriminals are increasingly turning to hand-delivered targeted ransomware, and some may view that as reverting to old-school manual hacking tactics, yet they're considered more damaging than the spray and pray bot attacks. Why is that so?
Thanks for having us, Bernard. Yeah, so we found that globally that a lot of the attackers will actually reduce the noise they make when they're launching an attack. Reason is that they want to be successful in their attack and they don't want to give up the malicious code, the malware, if you will, that they're going to use to successfully exploit their victims. So if they can remain as focused and as scoped as possible when delivering their malicious code, it's going to give them not only a more refined chance of success, but it's going to give them a better chance in having that malware survive, that they can reuse it again. It's like the bee sting analogy. You know, if a bee is going to sting somebody, they're only going to sting one person and they're going to sting them once, so they want to do it right. So in the world of the attackers, absolutely, they're becoming more and more focused on who they're going to go after, because it's going to net them, you know, a better chance of reusing that attack later on.
Yeah, Aaron, I mean, how much are the financial gains from ransomware hacks a big factor in the growing popularity?
I mean, ransomware is becoming the de facto sort of byproduct of an attack these days for the bad actors out there. And the reason is it's been successful. And you mentioned that, you know, there's been large multinational companies that have been affected by ransomware for the last few years now. But we're seeing a lot more small to mid enterprises being targeted by ransomware because, yeah, they've got a severe lack of cybersecurity personnel within their ranks to actually not only properly configure and defend the network against attacks, but they don't know what to do in the result of an attack. And usually paying the ransomware is an easy way out. So they'll pay the ransom, hopefully they'll get their data back and they won't be subjected to any further attacks. So absolutely, the financial gains is probably something that an attacker could do with once they've successfully exploited a system or a user.
Okay. Well, what are some of the examples of successful ransomware hacks maybe you can share with us?
Successful attacks, I mean, there's been a lot in the news that you've mentioned, but the one that I typically talk about a lot during engagements is the shipping giant Maersk. They were subjected to the NotPetya attack back in late 2017, and that ripped through their entire information technology division and knocked out 2,000 servers, 45,000 machines, a lot of applications that they spent, you know, over $300 million cleaning up over a series of weeks as a result of, unfortunately, missing a few patches and not following best security practices internal. That's probably an unfortunately great example of a ransomware attack unfolding. We haven't seen those sort of levels of attacks, you know, recently, but there have been a few, that have been sort of drifting around, and you mentioned SingHealth being one of them.
We're speaking to Aaron Bugel, the Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos, about the cybersecurity landscape for 2019. So what kind of forms do these attacks take generally? Is it like opening an email attachment, for example?
It sounds like you're speaking from experience there. unfortunately, it's as trivial as that. And I mean, this is the most successful ways in which the attackers have managed to gain a foothold into an organization and then introduce their ransomware is to lure their victims into doing something that they probably would do only with a trusted source. So they've been phished. They've been scammed into clicking a link within an email or typically opening up an attachment that has been laced with malicious code, which has then utilized some sort of vulnerability, exploited against it, and then that's launched code that the user has no idea is running, and then typically takes that user, their data, and their system for a ride, and then they're being asked for a ransom not too long after that.
Okay, more mainstream attackers are also making use of readily available IT tools as well, like Microsoft Office. What are some ways that these tools have been exploited?
Yeah, there's some really good examples. There are some of the system tools that are coming with Microsoft. And you mentioned a really good phrase in your introduction, living off the land. And like, you know, somebody who goes off-grid and wants to live and you know, find their own food and fossil for stuff to sustain their own health, this is what hackers are now turning to. Some of them will actually stay away from using, you know, obtuse, explicit code to yield their attack being successful, and would rather use things like PowerShell that is built into Windows to introduce functions to then take advantage of a system and make it do things that the user wouldn't normally sort of allow it to do. So it's unfortunate that attackers are now exploiting these tools, because people like Microsoft have implemented these tools to allow systems administrators to do their jobs a lot easier. But it's a double-edged sword, because if these tools aren't properly locked down, or if you're not actually taking advantage of these tools to properly secure and patch your operating systems, then they become left open, and they're the low-hanging fruit for the attackers to then utilize to gain a foothold in your business and then to exploit.
So, Aaron, just expanding on what you said, what are some of the riskier file types to watch out for?
Yeah, but the riskier file types, I mean, at Sophos, we've got a pretty clear delineation about what's risky and you know, what could be a little less risky. Nothing's ever assumed safe or that could never be causing a problem. Executable files are probably the numero uno thing that I'd be most suspicious of if I was to receive via email. There's no need to send executable files via email. There's from a terrestrial sort of like home user receiving an .exe file, I'd be quite suspicious of. But it's unfortunate that this day and age, as a consumer, as a small to medium business operator, that we've got to be suspicious of everything that comes in via email. Just don't have implicit trust of everything that you see and read on screen is the absolute truth. And if you're not expecting to get that PDF file, if you weren't expecting to get that Excel spreadsheet file from a friend that purportedly is sending it to you there, is to treat it with a little bit of suspicion and tread carefully. But best yet is to use a security system on your system to ensure that anything that is coming in can be vetted to make sure that it is safe for use.
Okay. Well, Aaron, what malware that runs on the Windows operating system vastly outnumbers malware for any other platform. Users of mobile devices are also increasingly subject to malicious activity, pushing malware apps to their phones or their tablets. Is there a particular operating system that is most vulnerable, and why is that so?
Yeah, I mean, from our research that we've done this year is the Android platform from Google has been most subjected to a lot of infiltration within their Google Play Store, and some very malicious apps have been detected and installed on people's devices, and they can range from, you know, SMS manipulators to, you know, coin miners for their mining of bitcoins and other style of electronic currency. But from an Android perspective, because of their openness and their ability to allow people to pick up the platform, then develop code for it and then run it, it just also allows the attackers to use that platform as well as another entry point into an organization or to a user's life. But apart from that, you know, we're seeing a lot of home devices, like home networking devices, being subjected to attacks as well, largely automated attacks because of the default credentials that they're getting into. So this, you know, if you receive like an Internet of Thing in your Christmas stocking this year, whether it be an IP camera or a wireless connected doorbell, Make sure that you follow the manufacturer's guidelines to change things like default passwords and ensure that they're not exposed to anybody who can find them on the open internet.
We're talking cybersecurity with Aaron Bugle, Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos. So, Aaron, sum it up for us in 2018. How have cyber attacks evolved over the past 12 months?
I mean, the way the attacks have evolved, largely in part of attackers becoming a lot more focused in what they're doing. So the tooling and the technology the attackers are using is evolving at an expected pace. Some of the outliers, like living off the land, using the built-in tools from Windows and the likes of the other operating systems, is quite novel. But we're seeing the cyber attacker itself actually become a lot quieter and a lot more targeted and focused in who and when they'll attack an organization. As far as this year's gone, I mean, it's ransomware has been a big problem. Default passwords have been a big problem. And unfortunately, it's going to be more of the same as time progresses.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen the typical profile of a hacker changing as well?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one. I mean, I don't know many black hat hackers, and if I did, that would sort of be contradicting a couple of the oaths that I've taken as a cybersecurity professional. But nonetheless, I mean, as you said in your introduction, we've seen a lot of the script kiddies or the inexperienced, you know, casual hacker really have to sort of shut up shop and move on with their lives because they just don't have the skill sets to keep up. It's the very skilled attackers that have refined their skills are now selling their skills to the highest bidder. So they're not in it for destructive or just wanton destruction on a whim. They're going to auction off their skills and their capabilities to the highest bidder and then offer to, you know, coordinate an attack or to design an attack that'll net them some actual money in the bank. So yeah, the good hackers are only going to get better at what they do, which means that the inexperienced hackers are going to drop right off. But that doesn't mean that attacks will go away. We'll just unfortunately see more refined attacks being unfolded onto the public over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. And you know, security professionals need to ensure that they're doing the basics to cut this out of their business.
I like the way that you changed it from good guys to good hackers, because obviously they're not the same. But so, Aaron, finally, we'd like you to look into your crystal ball for 2019. I know you've touched on trends, but what can we expect the cybersecurity landscape to look like over the next 12 months?
Yeah, it's going to be making sure that you're doing the absolute required to ensure that your business, your organization, your information technology systems are safe. So changing things like default credentials, you know, don't let users reuse passwords, you know, implement things like multi-factor authentication is really going to help us good guys, you know, defend our networks against the hackers. But as I said before, from an evolution standpoint, we'll still see, you know, third-party applications being exploited and utilized to unfurl attacks like your Adobes of the world and your Microsoft Offices of the world will be used to leverage attacks. But then we'll see the attackers moving on to things like the Internet of Things that I touched on before. You know, if you do have internet-connected smart devices in your home, like, you know, Amazon Alexas or the Google Pixel devices, or, you know, even the HomePods from Apple, make sure that they're configured to not be in their default settings. You know, they're joined to your network that has security on it. They don't use default passwords. Things like this, ransomware is not going to go away in any way, shape, or form. So if you can limit these entrance into your networks by simply following basic instructions, you're going to at least shift the focus away from you, unfortunately, onto the other people who haven't taken up that advice and are running open networks.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron Bugle, Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos. We'll be talking about cybersecurity landscape right here, Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.